Is the final Antichrist alive right now? And are these the last days spoken of by Daniel and the other prophets? We'll seek to answer these and other questions here today on Sound Doctrine.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Hey, it's great to be with you. Welcome again to Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson. We'll be in Daniel chapter 7, if you'll find your place there, looking at some amazing prophecy that has yet to be fulfilled, and some of it is being fulfilled right before our eyes. These are difficult days to be living in, but it sure helps to keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus and His soon return. Here's Pastor Jeff with today's prophecy update on Sound Doctrine.
So these 10 horns that he speaks about, what are these 10 horns? Well, they're 10 kings. With Roman influence, they're all related. Do you remember, again, the 10 toes of Daniel 2:42? They were iron. What were they made out of? Iron from the legs. The legs were iron, solid iron. Then the toes were part iron and part clay. Iron, speaking of the Roman Empire. Clay, speaking of a weakness ruled by the people. And so this prophecy, really what we're talking about here right now, is yet to be fulfilled, what Daniel is seeing in the future. You know, with all the situation with the king of the north, with Russia, with all the situations in the European Ukraine, and all of the, you know, guys running around with atomic weaponry, the world problems today, the Jerusalem is an incredible problem that's not going to go away. It's going to get bigger. We're going to hear about Israel and Jerusalem so much more in these last days. You're just going to see Zechariah chapter 12 coming to pass. Again, there's earthquakes. Turn in the newspaper and find out how many earthquakes are taking place in places they never were before. That's going back to Matthew 24. So all of these things are taking place, and today we see in Europe a federation of nations, a revived Roman Empire coming together like never before in the history of this world. The U.S. of Europe, they call it. The EEC, the European Economic Community. It's fast developing. Now, what's interesting about this is that Russia is not mentioned in the last days, except for in Ezekiel. And the United States are not mentioned. Well, because they're no longer superpowers. You say, well, wait a minute. We be the superpower. But again, it just takes a rapture to take this country out of the superpower range. And we're nothing. And things are going on today, guys. Hey, the church is worldwide. Everybody's talking about the end times. The U.S. is fast declining, and it will continue to decline. But this recent merger in Europe has theologians and Bible students standing up and saying, what is going on? Look at this. It's happening just like the Bible said. Now, remember how Titus came forth and leveled Jerusalem. After that took place, the Jews were scattered. May 14th, 1948, Israel becomes a nation. An impossibility. How can this happen? What took place? Well, it's just what the Bible said would take place. Israel would become a nation. In 1951, the Treaty of Paris came to pass, merging Europe. In 1957, it was called the Treaty of Rome to unite the industry of Europe, and they would become known as the EEC, or the European Economic Community. Now, their own Eurocard has risen. They have it. Their own passport, they're taking down all of the road checks. You can just go from one country to another. Their own national anthem, and guess what's in their own national anthem? It's "All Men Are Brothers," one of the verses in it. Isn't that just unique? We're all brothers, the fatherhood of God. We're all one. Let's embrace. And it's just so Antichrist. But that's what's going on. And the parliament, 1958, was set up. By the year 2000, they had their own currency, and I've got some of that currency. You can go anywhere and get it, to the bank. You can get the euro dollar. Now, the euro dollar is doing better in the world market than the United States. Big time better. What's happening? They're just gaining power. It's like all of the Ford and Chrysler and all the big auto industries coming together and merging. Can you imagine what a power pack that would be? Well, that's what Europe is fast becoming. And so they're going to become a world power block, economically, militarily, and politically. But there's going to be an upset, and we're going to see that in a moment. And a leader is going to come in and straighten out that little upset. You say, but there's more than 10 in the common market today. I mean, there's more even applying, and they're applying like crazy to get into the common market. And that's true. But the Bible says there's going to be 10 in the last days. So whatever you think is there now, somehow is going to merge, get out. There's going to be a merging and a get. There's going to be 10. Why? Because God said there's going to be 10. There's only 10 toes on that guy. So there's going to be 10 in the common market when this takes place. So there's going to be some changes that are going to be going on. So 10 kings. So Daniel's prophecy, his vision, is being fulfilled right before our eyes today. As we are now seeing the image and the 10 toes coming together. And now as we're seeing Europe rising as a world power. So that revived Roman Empire, the roots are emerging. It's digging deep and it's growing high. And the world is starting to pick up its ears and see and hear what's taking place in Europe. And finally, we'll end with verse 8 tonight. Look at verse 8. "And I considered the horns." And here's something that Daniel didn't have in chapter 2. "I considered the horns," Daniel says, "and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things." So Daniel is getting a closer look at this fourth beast. And again, this is not in Nebuchadnezzar's dream that Daniel shared in chapter 2, but this is something different. Again, this helps us to understand what's going on in Revelation 13 about the Antichrist big time. So from 10 nations will arise this little horn. From the 10 horns of power will come forth this little horn. Remember, the horn speaks of the power. And so at first, this little horn is kind of inconspicuous. It's kind of behind the scenes. Notice, and we'll cheat a little bit, verse 20 of chapter 7. "And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, before whom three fell, even that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows." It reveals a time lapse after the 10 rise. It seems that there's three that are not going to be in agreement with the others. And they will fall. They will be brought down. Then this little horn will take over and rule and reign over the remaining horns. Who is the little horn? And that's the main question. Well, he has about over 50 names in the Old Testament and the New Testament. He's called the Antichrist, but that's really not his scriptural name, is it? Because that's not a real scripture. The Antichrist is a spirit. That's not his real name. Everybody knows him as the Antichrist. But this is one that is called in the Bible the Wicked One, the man of sin. Notice in verse 20, his eyes and mouth, in verse 20 of Daniel 7. So he's a man, isn't he? He's got eyes. He's got a big mouth, speaking great things. We'll call him Little Big Mouth. Or we'll call him Blasphemer. He's called Lucifer. He's called Satan, the prince of this world, the son of Satan, the son of perdition. And that's exactly what Judas Iscariot was called, wasn't it? The son of perdition. And Judas Iscariot went to his own place, it says. Some say that this wicked one will be Judas reincarnated. I don't know. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 7, very interesting statement. This is 2 Thessalonians 2, 7. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Calling him a new name there, a mystery of iniquity. Only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. So I believe that he is born already. I believe he is being prepared for the position that he's going to be getting into, to be over and ruling there in Europe over the common market. He's already in our midst. If this is really the last days, the end of the age, which we're seeing everything point towards that, he's already here. Over in John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 43, Jesus says, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. And Jesus knew that there was coming this man of perdition, this prince of the world that is called Satan, Satan's son, actually, will come and many will bow down to him. Years ago, I had the opportunity of going into the Foreign Affairs Ministry's office and talking to the Minister of Foreign Affairs in Israel. And I spoke to him about the European Economic Common Market and are you guys going to become a part of it? And he said, oh yeah, man, this is going to be the greatest thing. The opportunities are incredible. We're going to participate in the EEC full on. And Israel was excited. And he was telling me how they're all just going to go for it. And I said, well, what about the president that's going to be emerging? And he says, well, you know, hey, you know how Israel is. We're looking for a man like Moses. Yeah, they're just set up for this guy. They are. They're looking for a man. They're going to get a man. I believe the writing is on the wall. The next world leader, and we haven't had one for decades, have we? Think about it. When was the last time a real world leader was in the world? Many years ago. And so the world really is ripe for a man who will stand up and really become, have the intelligence of like of a Jefferson. He'll have the leadership of a Lincoln, the oratory of a Churchill. Man, that guy could really speak. He could move people like nothing. He'll be strong like Roosevelt. He'll be iron-fisted like Stalin, you know, charisma like JFK. And just come off, and all of these combined is going to be in this man. He's not going to be an evil guy with a dark hat and a dark trench coat. I am here. You know, we had that play, the rapture play, you know, and it was making him look so demonic and so, you know. No, he comes as an angel of light. The women are going to be swooned by him. They're going to just say, he's so cute. And I like his sense of humor. He's such a nice guy. And look what he's doing for the world. And everybody's going to be taken by him. The wicked one. He'll have an incredible magnetism and dominance. In fact, over in Revelation 13, let me just read it to you. In Revelation 13 and verse 5 and verse 6, listen. And there was given unto him a mouth. Remember? Little big mouth. Speaking great things, blasphemies, power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. He will be a great speaker. He'll know how to use the media to win the world. And right now, man, the way things are going, and you know, there's a lot of dissatisfied people right now as I speak. People have had it with government running everything. And, you know, a lot of times we think it's for the people, by the people, of the people. Give me a break. You've been brainwashed with everybody else? Politics runs this place. It's always run it. The people are just kind of getting in line, doing what they get. Well, I got to vote. My vote counts. Okay. Well, it does in some instances. It really does. But most of the time, come on, look how things are run. Look how things are going. I don't think we need to buy into it. People are, you know, just a little upset at what's going on. There's a lot of problems in this world. But this guy's going to come on the scene with answers to every one of the problems. Middle East, nothing. I'll get these guys hugging each other. And they'll have them on the TV. They'll be hugging. And everybody, this guy's great. He got these guys, the Arabs and the Jews, they love each other. This is great. And then they're going to build the temple on the Mount of Moriah next to the mosque. Everything's going to be fine. Everybody's going to think. And this is right around the corner. This will take place. He will defeat the three kings who oppose him. He will rule the world. In Revelation 17:3, again, going back to more clarity for Daniel, Revelation 17:3, he says, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon the scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. There it is again. But he only will come, it says, until that which is taken out of the way is removed. And I really see that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That which is taken out of the way is going to be the church. There's going to be a departure. We're going to leave. We're going to be snatched up. And we're going to be raptured. And then that evil one will come after the rapture. Verse 7 and 8 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And after the church is gone, he'll be revealed in all his splendor. Matthew 24:15 talks about the abomination of desolation. He is actually in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, it says he's going to place himself in the place of the temple and say, he is God. Worship him. The abomination of desolation is going to be set up, and he says, you flee. And Jesus even warned about that. Understand what Daniel is saying. 3.5 years of hell is coming to pass on this earth after he is set up. Revelation 13 in verse 7, again going back to Revelation for clarity. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Who are the saints? He's not talking about the church. The church is not there. Chapter 13, verse 9, if any man has an ear, let him hear. Not what the Spirit says of the church. The church is already gone. Chapter 5, we're in heaven, guys. Chapter 6 is the beginning of the tribulation period. But he's going to make war with the saints and to overcome them, the Jews. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And he is going to be able to overcome the Jews during the tribulation period. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 21, we're almost finished here, guys. Daniel 7, 21. And I beheld, and the same horn, talking about the little horn, made war with the saints. And that's not talking about Christians. We're gone. And prevailed against them. If you're left behind, the only way to be saved during the tribulation period is to refuse the mark and to die. That's it. Don't be afraid for those who can just kill the body, but be afraid of those that can not only kill the body, but kill the soul. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 28. So true. No better time than to reverence and humble yourself before the Almighty God than now. No better time than to enter in to this window of grace and mercy. I mean, we are living, literally, with a window that is shutting of grace and mercy. And once that last Gentile comes in, the church is out of here. We're gone. And that is coming very, very soon. And really, if you ask me, it's much easier to live for him today than to die for him then. That's going to be tough because you're going to have to be in the line and the guillotine is falling. And there is going to be lots of blood and lots of fear. To live for him now, that's what it's all about. Than to say, well, I'll wait and see if the Christians are going to be missing. And then all of a sudden we're gone and then you're going, okay, here we go. And then your life is on the line. That's going to be tough. This world is headed towards judgment. The next event prophetically, millions missing, and it'll be in the big war type on the newspapers. I'm glad I'm not going to be here to see that, but a lot of people are going to see it. Millions missing. And a lot of sincere people, listen, were banging and pounding on that ark when the floods came up and came down. They were trying to get in. They could not get in. God had shut the door, and they were left behind. Where are you going to be when he comes? To as many as received him, he gives the power to become the children of God. And his children are going home. We're not appointed unto wrath. We are appointed unto salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that great? There's good news. Jesus is coming. I hope you're ready. Father, it's always exciting to look at prophecy. We know that much of the Bible is prophetic. And we thank you so much for giving us your Spirit to guide us into all truth tonight, to help us understand these truths that will set us free, that will keep us looking up, wanting to be right, wanting to be ready and watching, because you're soon coming. Your hand is even on the doorknob and you're turning it. It's so imminent. It's so close. But Lord, help us to occupy till you come. Help us to steady on, to do what you've called us to do, to be a light on a hilltop, not to have our light hid under a bushel, but to be lights to this world that Jesus is Lord and he loves them. Right now, he's the Lamb of God, but when he comes back, he'll be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Thank you for being a lamb tonight, for allowing these many to hear the gospel, the good news. That there is a way of escape, that there is a way out. Help them to choose wisely tonight, Father. And by your Spirit, woo them into your kingdom. How many would say, Jeff, the Lord has spoken to my heart tonight. And if the Lord was to come back tonight for his church, I don't know if I would go. I'm not sure. I mean, I've been walking a fence, or maybe you haven't even come to know the Lord in a personal way. You couldn't say tonight that the Spirit of God dwells within you. Then you are not God's child. You are the other's. You're Satan's. It's best to be sure. It's best to come and to confess. It's best to say yes to his sacrifice for your life. And to say, if he died for me, then I want to receive him into my heart. I want to receive what he did for me 2,000 years ago so I could be a child of God, so I could walk with God, so I could know these things in a deeper and in a more profound way that would change my life and that would get me ready for what's coming down.
This is Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson, and we have been in Daniel chapter 7, receiving a prophecy update. You can request today's study on CD when you give us a call toll-free, 800-353-7553. The suggested donation is $5. Simply mention today's date to help us identify the study you're looking for. And again, that phone number is 800-353-7553. I should also mention you can go to our website to order resource materials from us and even replay today's program. We're at sounddoctrineradio.org. We also have an app, and that's a great way to stay connected with us and listen to some of Pastor Jeff's teachings as well. Look for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store or Google Play. Well, here in the month of May, we honor and celebrate our moms. And with that in mind, we've picked out a book written by Elizabeth Elliot. Every mom, and really every woman, needs to read this book. It's called Let Me Be a Woman. Elizabeth writes, "In order to learn what it means to be a woman, we must start with the one who made her." With Scripture as her guide, author Elizabeth Elliot shares her observations and experiences in a number of essays on what it means to be a Christian woman. Whether you're single, married, or widowed, I know you'll be greatly encouraged by this book. Order it today by calling 800-353-7553 or visit sounddoctrineradio.org. Please remember that your gifts help us bring these shows to the radio every day. We rely on the Lord and the support of our listeners to make all of this happen. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. One last request. We want to know how Sound Doctrine is benefiting your walk with the Lord. So email us today at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. And please also mention the station that you listen to. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. We'll get back into Daniel next time we meet. Thank you for listening to Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff, a presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey and made possible through your generous support. So Father, won't you